Mm, can you say amen?
Amen.
Can you say glory?
Glory.
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 Glory. Mm. His glory. Mm. That's what it's all about. Amen. It's all about the glory. His glory. It's still telling the story, is it not? Who's He using to tell the story? You and me, the church. Amen.
Amen.
Because of His glory, we can stand and tell the story. And we can't keep silent. Amen. The Word within us, that Word, we're talking about His words. Those words are life. They're containers of life. Words are containers of life, or they can be words or containers of death. But the words that Jesus spoke were what? Life. Always life. Always speaking life. Always giving life. Because He is the author of life. He is not the author of death. Satan was and had, did you hear what I said? He was and he had the power of death till the power of life showed up in his kingdom and brought light and took the keys, because darkness has no power over light. Amen? The glory of God was shown in Sheol, and that glory showed up. Jesus showed up and preached to those captives. And what did He do? He set them free. When Jesus preached, He set people free. When we preach and we minister life, words of life, we set people free. The devils have to flee. Situations have to change. We can't change people, but we can change circumstances. We can change the spiritual side that's working in those circumstances on those that have a covenant with God and serve Jesus Christ and are His kids. Amen? And we can speak the same life that He spoke. And it don't matter what we feel. We don't go by what we feel. We go by what He says and what He is still saying today. His glory, His glory will be manifest in His church. He's coming for a glorified church. Amen? It ain't going to be a weak church. We're going to go through some stuff. We're going to go through trials, tribulation. But guess what? We're going through it. We're going through it because of His glory. And the shackles are going to stay off of us because we're not an army that stops. If you stop, what happens? You die. We don't retreat. We go forward.
Amen.
In His glory, we're going to go forward. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I always think about, Lord, how do I start a sermon? But it's not my sermon. It's His. So when I get here, I know He will give me something to say.
Amen.
I've been prepared, and He's going to give me something to say. And He says His army is marching forward. Terry, we're marching forward. Things are going to come against us, but guess what? We're surrounded by those, we're surrounded by like believers that are going to encourage each one another. And we're going to come out of these things victorious. We're going to march as one body, the body of Christ, forward in His glory, tell His story, and help others to come into the fold. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to come. We're going to come out of it. We're going to go through it. We're going to help others out of it because we've been through it. Amen? His glory. His glory, that hope and His glory, it pushes us forward. He's not going to leave. He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So that means He's not going to leave us behind. He's going to always be there encouraging us and pressing us forward with His glory, with His words. Can I turn the AC on a little bit, Maldy? It's starting to get hot up here. Starting to sweat a little bit. Wait a minute. Well, it's on heat, but it's on 71, so I'll just put it on cool. And I'll just put it on cool, and I'll go to 72. How's that?
Thank you, Robert.
It's on 71, so it's not on yet. Oh, uh-oh. Must be hotter in the upper room. Amen. His glory. We might not make it off of glory today. About every song Terry had up there is talking about His glory. Talking about the glory of God. The manifested glory. Jesus is the manifested glory of God shown up here on the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And now the church, we are still manifesting. We are still manifesting His glory. I would say some would maybe not choose to do that. Because we've got to demonstrate that glory. We've got to demonstrate His power. We don't have a gospel, a weak gospel. We have a powerful gospel. And I'm preaching to myself. Sometimes we just let it sit idle. But we got to demonstrate. We got to step out here and demonstrate the power that's within us. That means we got to reach out here and lay hands on the sick. Tell them about this gospel that we have. You don't need to be sick no more, because Jesus bore your sickness, carried our griefs and pains and sorrows, and delivered us. That don't mean the symptoms might show up. We're in this earth. We're in this fallen world. But Jesus has never fall. It's bad English there, ain't it? Jesus never failed. He said, I saw Satan fall. You better stand up and say, hey, hallelujah. Jesus didn't fall. He said, I saw him fall. Yes. Jesus has never fallen from grace, because he is the grace where all grace comes from. He's the glory of God the Father. He is the express image of God the Father. Amen. That means anything Jesus portrayed in the Gospels, that describes our Father God. He's not out to harm me. He's out to heal me. He's not out to make me poor. He's out to make me rich. The Bible says that the blessing of the Lord makes what? Rich. That's in the Old Testament. We got a better covenant. That was in the Old Covenant. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He adds no sorrow with it. There should be no sorrow in our tomorrow. Why? Because Jesus is there. That means the blessing's there. Now, we've got a choice. We can be sorrowful. There's many mornings I wake up and my body wakes up and I don't feel like praising God. But you know what? This ain't God's glory. The glory is on the inside of this body. It's in my spirit. My spirit has to tell my body what to do. Your brain tells your body what to do, voluntary and involuntary. But your spirit is alive unto God 24/7. My spirit is. Amen? And it's speaking loud. We just got to determine that we're going to hear it in the morning as we walk by the way and as we lay down at night. And we got to hear from that Spirit and tell our body what you're going to do until Jesus glorifies it completely. Amen? Amen. And until that time, we're going to march forward in His glory, glorified in these bodies, telling the good news. Amen? Walking in health, divine health. We can walk in divine health. Our children can walk in divine health. Our children's children can walk in divine health. What does the Bible say we're supposed to owe? No man. But what?
But love.
That's a good thing to owe somebody's love. So that means I'm not supposed to be in debt materially. I'm not supposed to be in debt in my body physically. I'm supposed to owe somebody love. Now, how can I give somebody love something I don't have? God is love, and we are His children. So that means we have love and we have power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover from His glory, from that touch. Amen? And He demonstrates. We demonstrate, and He's right there to back us up. That's what that glory does. Amen? Mm-mm-mm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Father God, for this time in our life, Lord, that your glory covers us, that the anointing that you have for us, Father God, sustains us, propels us, tells us, shows us, reveals your love to us, empowers us. And Lord, we just thank you for that anointing. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can do all things through that anointing. We can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, who anoints us to tell others about your grace and your love and your mercy. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that when we come in here, Father, that we're getting equipped. We're not getting whipped, we're getting equipped to go out here and do the work of the ministry. So Father, we just thank you for that, that you empower us to be a blessing, that we can carry words of life to others, Father. And we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Each one of you have a dream on the inside of you. It's a God-given dream before you even consumed in your mother's womb. Jeremiah said, God told Jeremiah, before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I called you. We each have a call on our lives to be separated unto God and to do His work, the work that He's called us to do. Amen? And if He called you, guess what? He's got faith in you. He put that faith in there, and how does it come? How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing by what? The Word of God. Not from the world, not from the Babylonian system. Your financial, how would you say it, demeanor, your financial substance is not based upon a Babylonian system, it's based upon God's system. And He says you can do all things. So whatever God has called you to do, whatever He's called me to do, we can do it. Through His power, through His anointing, and through His blessing. Amen? The dreams you have on the inside, not just one dream, but dreams you have on the inside of you, they are attainable. They are reachable. Amen? And you got to believe that. That's the hope. You got to know that. The God that we serve. And we got to set goals. And we got to shoot toward those goals. And we got to keep going forward. Amen? When Moses came to the Red Sea, the Bible tells us the armies of Pharaoh were behind him. But God said, the Word says, if God be for you, who can be against you? You know, the Holy Spirit contained Pharaoh. It was holding his army back. The pillar of fire, they couldn't come forward. God was not going to let them be defeated. We cannot be defeated. That represents the Holy Spirit. If we carry the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, He's carrying us. He's going to carry us through the Red Sea. If we need to go across the Red Sea, you know, Jesus, God didn't part the Sea of Galilee, did He? What did Jesus do? He walked on the water. He hovered on the water. You know, we can go, Old Testament, God moved the waters. New Testament, you walk on the water in Christ. You walk on top of your situation. Amen? You follow Him. And if you follow Him, we walk on top. Above the mountain, on top of the mountain. That way we can see our enemy. We can see what's coming. We can see down below. Because He is above all. His name is above every name. Amen? Defeat, His name is above defeat. You know, we see the enemies in the Old Testament, the Amalekites, Canaanites, Hittites, Jebusites, all kind of ites out there. But what are we? We're His favorites. Amen? We're the favorites because we have God's favor. Family of God. A chosen. You're a peculiar people. I actually said that word, peculiar. You're peculiar, Terry. Not normal. You're abnormal to the world. I heard Jesse talking, ministering, and you know, sometimes you don't want to ask Jesse a question. If you want to know the truth, ask him. But if you ask him one of them iffy questions, don't ask Jesse because he'll hear straight from Jesus and he'll answer your question. And it came up on the subject of wine. Now, I'm not sure when this set message was taped, but has anybody ever drank wine, drank alcohol? I raised both hands. I was drinking, smoking. You know, I was in the world. And happy to be there because I was a sinner. And I was good at what I was doing. I wasn't a real bad drinker. I guess if you could classify how bad it was, but it wasn't. What I'm trying to say is, when that question comes to me, a lot of times the question is going to come from those that are probably drinking, just asking the question because they're trying to justify their action. Once I was delivered, once I met the Master, and He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. When He comes in, other things are flushed out. When He touched me that night, I had no more desire to drink alcohol. Now, I still had a problem with smoking. But guess what? He helped me with that too. I'm a work in progress. Amen? I'm always going to be a work in progress. But I want to be His work. I want to be His masterpiece. So I want Him to be the brush that paints in the pieces of my life. Amen? But when that question comes, it's already answered in my heart. There is no room for that in my body, in my life anymore. He delivered me from it. So if God delivered me from something, why would I want to think He wants me to have it? See, that's the argument. It's just a little bit okay for your stomach's sake? No. For your mind's sake, be ye filled with the Spirit, wherein there is excess. If you want to be filled with something, be filled with the Holy Spirit and let Him overflow. You want to be drunk in Him. That's what Paul was saying. Jesse said when that question came up to him, they said, Brother, I mean, they're having a conversation about this, and I think I'm not going to mention the name that he did because I'm not sure. I didn't hear him say it, so it was a like faith of ours, a body of Christ, but they were receiving that it's okay for a little bit of wine. Just don't get drunk. You can drink a little bit, but don't get drunk. What does that sound like? Sounds like compromise. You can have just a little bit. Well, when they asked Jesse, had three or four preachers, he was telling this story, so I can tell it, right? If he's told it, I can tell it, because it's his story. He was on national TV, and he was praying that, oh, Lord, don't let them ask me this question. Because it's been, I guess, a question, is, you know, it's a question you ask, you get in the Bible. And so they were saying, you know, well, it was old Pentecostal, you know, that's old-fashioned, that we don't drink and all these things. That was old-fashioned. And Jesse said he was praying, Lord, don't let them. There was like 3 minutes on the clock and it was going to be over. He's like, I've got it. They're not going to ask me. But then they looked at Jesse. Brother Jesse, what do you think about drinking? He said, I don't think about it. I don't think about it. Jesse was a rocker before he got saved. He was a Led Zeppelin in Jesse. I mean, this is who he was. He was playing the bar. He was drinking. He was doing the drugs. But guess what? He heard about Jesus. And then he let Jesus in, and Jesus came in and totally transformed his life. Yeah. And see, when you've been into that, and then you've been pulled out of that, you have a testimony. And he had a testimony. And he said, I don't think about it. And then he laid it out there for him, and Jesus said, and this is from Jesse, he said, do the sex thing. And this is what the Holy Spirit gave Jesse. The ministers that were asking him the question had three wives on the front pew. And Jesse said, okay. He said, you asked me, now I get to tell you. He said, he talked to one of the ministers he was talking to, and he looked at his wife. He said, now, do you mind if I take such and so? We're going to go back here behind the curtain, and we're just going to kiss, and we're just going to make out a little bit. And he said he seen that minister's face turn red. He was not happy about this. But Jesse said, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't get upset, brother. We have grace. We're not going all the way. We're just going to have fun. There is the picture. A little bit of wine. Just don't get drunk. See, what are we playing with? And he said, how much of the world do you want to be like? The church. Why do you want to be so much like the world? Just do a little bit of this, but then go to church on Sunday. There's black and white there. There's temptation. It's a weakness of the flesh. And the Spirit is strong, but the flesh is weak. Don't give it a point. Don't give it a weakness. Fill it with the Spirit. Amen. And I knew where Jesse was coming from because I've been there. I've been delivered from that. And once I got delivered, that question was settled. That answer was settled. I don't need this. Jesus never intended me for me to have this. My dad was an abusive alcoholic. That demonic spirit, that unclean spirit, was allowed to come into my household. And then I had an example to follow, and I followed it. But it was not my desire. It was the devil's desire. But when I came to Christ, He delivered me from that. Amen. Now, smoking was something I desired to do. I mean, I started, but now I desired it. So God didn't deliver me from that desire that night when I had a touch from God, from the anointing. But after I got into the Word, and I read my body was a temple of the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, how can I be out here and witness for You and be smoking? I need some help with these cigarettes. See, now it was coming from a, not that it's going to keep me from hell, but it's keep me from just being in Your glory and just being able to manifest Your glory. And see, God didn't push me aside because I still had issues. There's tissues for issues, amen? But there's glory for you to tell a story. His glory enables you to tell a story. His glory will set you free. His glory will heal your pain, heal your emotions, bring families together, That's what His glory will do. That's what His glory did. That's what His glory is still doing. Amen. It'll build a church. His glory will build a church. And the gates of hell won't what? They won't prevail. They will not prevail against that church. We've got to continue to build a church. And Joseph had a dream. You have a dream. I have a dream. God has a dream. And guess what? His dreams are going to come to pass. Amen. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of His master dream. And that's bringing winning souls into Christ. Winning souls into the kingdom. And tell them about how of His goodness and His love and His mercies and His healing power. And it all comes from Him, just one touch of His glory, letting Him in. Letting Him in. And I tell you, if you ever want some good teaching, visit Marilyn Hickey's website. Just some good Bible teaching. I mean, we got to hear tell them. I'm talking about somebody who's been in the Word for many years and can just take you through the Old Testament, New Testament. She's memorized, I think, 22 books of the Bible. Got them memorized. But she can paint you a picture of it. She can show you Jesus in every book of the Bible. And we can too, but she just lays it out there. And it's just beautiful how she does it. And the way she said it, I was listening to her the other day, just helps me memorize those books. Memory has been a challenge of mine, Pastor. Memorization. It's just one of those desires I just don't have to just memorize things. But when I experience things, I hold on to them, though. But that's just some things. Some people are just gifted with just knowing things. Boom, boom, boom. Memory. You know, just little things. Where I met, first time I met my wife, first things I said, she can remember that, but I've lost it. But she brings it back to me. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, just little things like that. But I can work on that. Amen. I can work on those things. But God never forgets. He never forgets the small things you do. Things we've done for Him. And He will repay. We honor Him. He honors us. He says, just don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going forward. Keep going forward. See, because the enemy, if he can get us stopping, just idle. If he can just get us idle, you know, like a float, a boat just sitting in the water, they don't have the motor running, it can't go, it just sits there idle. Not going anywhere. We don't want to do that. Need to be going forward. Amen. Conquering. Go forward. Got time to minister this now, Pastor? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for His glory. Just mentioning that, May 1st coming up is National Day of Prayer, which will be next Thursday, 1st of May. Let's do our part. I'm not saying if you can't get out to the flagpoles or can't go here, you can pray. We do have a voice in this earth, and we can pray. And I'm not talking about a silent prayer. Pray. You know, we can pray silent if you need to pray silent, but we need to give our words voices. Power. Give God something to do. He spoke, light be, what happened? Light became. When we say things, we have words of life. Let's hook up our words with His words and speak words of life over our city, over our schools, over our communities, over our nation. Wherever God leads you to pray, He's got specific areas to pray, but then listen to Him on the inside. Neighbors, wives, husbands, children. Just be in a constant attitude of prayer toward that day. And, you know, God, as I was just reading and studying about Joseph and reading yesterday, you know, I know the story of Joseph and God gave him a dream. And just, when you go to bed thinking about these things, I don't say every dream is from God that you dream. But I was telling Molly, just sharing with her, that I didn't see everybody in this church, but I saw us just sitting around a table. And just a need arose. And it was actually just to go out and eat breakfast. I guess I just like to eat breakfast. I'm not saying this is a God dream, but I'm telling you, it had some purpose in me. Because I saw this church, I saw the members, and we were all wanting to go eat breakfast, so we all pitched in our part. We all just threw money on the table. Threw money on the table. And we didn't get there, Maldy, but we were on our way. I never... seen where we went, but we had the needs. The need was supplied. And then I woke up thinking about Joseph and the dream that God had given him. And then the Lord was talking about unity. How there's so much strength in unity. That the first church, they took what they had and they brought it in and they all met each other's needs. Now we can do that spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And that's what we do here as a church. We pray for one another. When one another's down, we pray for one another because we're hurting there. It's not just about material needs. It's physical needs, mental needs. But that's what the church is about. Unity. It's not sameness. We're all not the same, but we're all one. It's oneness. Same purpose. To help one another. To pray for one another. And let God meet that need, whether He uses me or whether He uses somebody else or He just manifests His glory. That's His part. We do our part and let God do His part. Amen? Does that make sense to you? And that's what we are here as a church. Body of believers with one purpose, to love one another. Jesus said, no greater love than this, and you lay down our life. Now, you can look at that probably literally and figuratively, but I'm thinking about if I lay down my desires to meet your desires, I've laid down my life, my psyche. Jesus laid down His life, what He wanted. He didn't want to die. God never created us to die. He didn't want to die here on this earth. But He said, not my will, Lord, Your will. And He knew He had to lay down this physical life so the spiritual man on the inside of Him, the God on the inside of Him, could defeat that power of death. Satan is a flesh devil. He's not a spiritual devil. He's dead. Jesus defeated him. He works in the flesh. He has no authority in the spirit realm anymore because he has fallen. Amen? Amen. Now we have the keys. We have the keys. Amen. Your future is bright and glorious. Bright and glorious. Can you handle that, Shannon? Bright and glorious? Wow. Say double wow. Wow, wow. Bow, wow, wow. Bright and glorious. Wow. That little saying, that little nugget there, I received from a Kenneth Copeland meeting when me and my wife first got born again, when we only had two siblings, which was Kelsey and Dallas, and they were young. I don't think we took them that night because they were in a convention, so mom was probably watching my kids. But we went there that night, and you know, we were hungry. We were desperate because we had needs that needed to be met. But God had showed up in our lives and He just manifested Himself in a powerful way and set us free from certain things, healed our bodies, set things right in our marriage, different things. So we were just chasing Him. Anywhere we could go that we knew was the right place to be, we was chasing after God. God chasers. And we went there just believing God for a word, something to kind of help us, direct us. And we'd already prayed in our together to know what kind of offering to give that night. That was all settled. You know, wasn't we going to get there and just think, guess what we was going to give? We knew what we were going to give. And we'd already settled that. And God knew that. But we got there, and Sherry, she writes the checks, and I touch them and I give them. She writes, I touch, seal, and give away. She's good at that. She knows what we've got, what we need. But I did on this particular night, I wrote on that check what I was sowing for. I'm not sure if Brother Kenneth mentioned it, but I know I put on there memo. I said I was believing for a bright future for me and my family, for a bright future. And I think the offering was taken up. Brother Kenneth talked a little bit, and then before he got into the message, he took up an offering. Well, as so often as he does, it's just not an offering. This is just not an offering. It's a sacrifice. It's a blessing. It's an honor. And he prayed over that before we gave into the ministry. And I'll never forget, as he was praying, he mentioned the word bright future. And when he spoke that, it was like God was right beside me and it was sealed. It was sealed. And every time opposition has come, when the kids, they're older now, getting ready, one's in college, and guess what? They're just next in line. Clink, clink, clink. I'm sitting back, Lord, I'm looking at what we've already got to pay. And I'm like, Jesus, you've got mail. Because it to me, it's impossible.
Amen.
It is impossible. But I serve a God of the impossibilities.
Amen.
And I hang on to that my kids' future is bright. That means they got a part to play. They're going to be bright.
Mm-hmm.
Strong, fast, whatever they need to be, glorious. Bright and glorious. And if you are one of God's kids, you're both of those. Amen? You are bright and glorious. We got one sitting right here that's going for the goal. Darius is going for that goal. Bright and glorious. His future, your future is bright and glorious. Envision it and experience it. That's the vision you got. That's the vision you got to see. And I want to take you there. Matthew 17. All that was introduction. Y'all ready? Praise the Lord. We're going to turn this into a 3-day meeting. Oh, I've got to work Monday and Tuesday. Larry, you're going to have to finish it. You got it? You better get your notepad ready. Praise the Lord. Jesus said the same thing to His disciples, didn't He, Larry? He said, I'm going to be with you, but shortly I'm going away. You got your notepad ready? Jesus was going away, and they had work to do. They had to carry on. They were grieved. Jesus knew where He was going, but they didn't quite understand it yet. But He told them, you can't come here yet, but you're coming. Jesus is coming. We can't go. We can't get to Him yet, but He's coming. Whether we go by the grave or by the rapture, He's coming. We're going to get there either way, right? That's the hope we have. Matthew 17. I want to read. Just hang with me here. I'm not sure if Dallas is going to have it on the screen. If you've got your Bible. If not, there's a Bible in front of you. Might be different versions, but just the same word. Amen. Same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Ghost. Matthew 17. Well, I want to jump up here just a little bit. I want to go up to 16 verses 21. Matthew 16, 21. I'm going to read this kind of quick. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took Him aside. Jesus took Peter aside. I think He's going to tell him a thing or two. Jesus rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, that this shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Peter was in the flesh. He didn't want Jesus. You're young, Jesus. You're 30 years old. You're right on your prime. But see, Jesus was in tune with the Father. He knew His purpose. Don't be critical of Peter. Peter's just looking at the flesh. Verse 24, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. There we're talking about the flesh now. And take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, for Lord, for His sake, if you throw down your life, Terry, for His sake, look out. You got a bright, glorious future.
Amen.
Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory. He's coming in the glory of His Father. With His angels. And He will reward each according to his works. It is important what we do for Jesus. We don't get salvation by doing works, but we do get rewarded by the works we do. And He's coming with glory. I want some of those glorious gifts.
Amen.
Amen. And if you Colette, bring some water and sit up here for your pastor, guess what? You got a reward. It's coming. You're going to be rewarded here in the earth too, but Jesus has got a special reward for you coming. How many glasses of water you brought up here? He knows. He knows every drop. Assuredly, verse 28, assuredly, Jesus said, assuredly. Assuredly. I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Whoa, it won't be them. Don't even think about chapter and verse here. Jesus is carrying on. And after 6 days after He said that, He took Peter, James, and John. Say, Lord. Come on. Say, Lord. Say, Lord. Take me to the mountain. Reveal Your glory. Because I want to hear it. I want to see it. I want to share it to the world. He took Peter, James, and John on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. And Jesus, His clothes became white as the light. Didn't need no bleach. Didn't need no Clorox. He had the manifested glory of God. He revealed the glory of God to them. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Right answer, Peter. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was yet still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, and this ain't the first time it was said, this is My Son, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. Don't listen to the flesh. See, this is a spiritual encounter. This is a God encounter right here. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, Moses and Elijah, all in one place at one time. You're talking about a thundering mountain, a mountaintop experience. Peter wanted to build a tabernacle and just stay there. Amen? But there's a time we've got to come down the mountain. Moses had to come down the mountain. And he was veiled with what? The glory of God. Jesus was veiled and concealed the glory of God in a flesh body. And while, verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus, say, but Jesus, came and touched them. Oh, He touched me. See, God can touch us. But you said, but He banished them from the Garden of Eden. God can touch you. Amen. He has never lost His love for His people. He can't touch sin, but He can touch you. Jesus touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Now as they came down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is what? Risen from the dead. Has Jesus arisen? Then we are to tell this story. I'm not talking about this mountaintop experience. I'm talking about your mountaintop experience. And if you hadn't experienced one yet, get ready. Get ready. Spend some time with the Master. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. Jesus represented God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. One covenant. He's putting them all together. The covenant we now have, the covenant of grace and love. And His disciples asked Him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But Jesus said, Elijah has come already. And they did not know Him, but did to Him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer their hands. And when He said that, they knew that He spoke about John the Baptist. See, they were looking for something in the flesh. For a king in the flesh. But they said John was sent. But see, they didn't receive John's testimony because they were looking to John. They weren't listening to the voice that was on the inside of him was the voice of the spirit of Elijah. It's been speaking throughout the whole Old Testament. Be looking for the Messiah. God is here. God loves you. They were looking at John and what he looked like. They didn't hear. God said, when Jesus says things to you, hear Him. Don't look. They were looking at Jesus. The scribes, the Pharisees were looking at Jesus. Just like I'm looking at Shannon and Ruthie. And they couldn't see God because they were looking at Jesus the carpenter that they knew was raised there. When all the time the Son of God was standing right before their eyes. The glory revealed in His body, but speaking out of His mouth. He didn't reveal it from His mouth. He spoke it. God is saying, hear Him. Hear Him. What is He saying? Your future is bright and glorious, and it's in Christ. It's in Him. It's not in your mother. It's not in your father. Now, if they're in Christ, they're going to be speaking life to you, but your future is not hid in your parents. Your future is hid in Christ. Your purpose is hid in Christ. My purpose is hid in Christ. Mom and Daddy can't save me. Jesus touched me. And oh, the joy that filled my soul. Mama protected me. Mama fed me. Mama told me she did everything she could, but she could not save me. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Mm-mm. When He said, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. I put a big now in my Bible. Now we can tell this story. We can tell this about God's glory and expect Him to show up and manifest Himself. Expect when Jesus said, go out and preach this gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and making disciples of all nations. This gospel will preach over in Africa, India, Jamaica, anywhere that somebody believes it will preach it and take it. And then God will manifest. We're supposed to demonstrate this gospel. Amen? In other words, lay hands on the sick. Command broken arms to be whole. Whatever you see before you, don't look at the flesh. Look at and hear from God and say what He says to say. Exactly what He says to say, and it will happen. Jesus heard exactly what the Father said. He wasn't able to touch and heal everybody, but now we have the church. And He's got more hands and more feet now. And we need to stretch out, branch out, and believe God and do these mighty works that He's called us to do. Preach His gospel. Actually, your gospel. Paul called it his gospel. Take this personally. Take what Jesus did personally on that cross. And don't... This is so funny. You just had to be there, but... Ruthie and Dallas can get this picture. I'll have to paint it for you just a little bit. In other words, don't let people tell you what you can't do. Now, we submit to authorities. I'm not telling you to go out here. We don't rebel against authorities. But we submit and we do what God's called us to do. And say what He tells us to say, where He tells us to say it, how we deliver it respectfully and honorably. But we was coming back from a baseball game yesterday, or going to the game. I'm not exactly sure which, but Rowan loves to watch the movies when you get into the car. You know, we don't never get to watch a full DVD unless we're going an hour somewhere, but you know, you get 10 minutes and you get back in the car. I'm trying to get into traffic and know which exit, and he's like, turn the movie on, turn the movie on, turn the movie on. And most of the time there's mom and daddy there, you know, we're kind of praying in the Holy Ghost, who's going to turn this on? You know, somebody just needs to push the power button. But Daddy's driving. Mama gets a little bit louder than I do. It takes me a little bit longer for me to get a little bit louder, but I'm not turning this movie on yet. Just be quiet. We're trying to figure we're getting somewhere. I ain't never going to turn this thing on unless you hush. A couple things, about five things said, and Rowan says, I have the right to ask. We're talking from a 9-year-old. I have the right to ask. In other words, just hush. Don't even talk to this movie again. But I have the right to ask. I'm like, that's going to preach. Lord, give him that message to preach one day. That's boldness. To know that I do have a right to ask. You cannot silence me. I can't ask. You can tell me no 10 times, but I can ask. And that's what we've got to do to Jesus. He said, keep asking, keep knocking. Don't let people tell you what you can't do. Don't let the devil come in there and steal your dreams. Jesus said, ask, and you shall find. Seek, and you shall knock. The door shall be opened to you. And that ask is a continuing verb, right, Pastor? In other words, keep asking. Keep knocking. There's doors we've got to knock down. In other words, keep asking Him for the wisdom. Keep asking Him for the grace. It's there, but we need to experience it, and we need to be bold and then declare it, what He says to do. And there's doors that only He can open. We're not to knock them down, but the ones the devil has shut, we need to speak to those doors. Speak to those mountains and command them to be moved. And the knocking down I'm talking about is we use our words. Faith-filled words. Amen? Because we're not an army. We're not a rebellious army. We're an army that's behind a leader, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're a victorious army marching forward to our promised land. If it's been promised, guess what? It's your land. Now, you going to let the devil steal it? If you got a promise, you hang on to it and you march forward. You get that promised land. Our future is hidden in Christ. It's a bright and glorious future. Jesus said in Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Not talking about fish oil. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. That covers your whole future. He was even in your past. He was even in my past before I knew Him. He was in there. Just waiting for me to ask. Just waiting for me to ask and let Him come in. I was listening, and we all got that choice. We all have a choice to ask Him to come in. He's not going to come knock that door in. There's only one door. There's only one door He will not knock down, and that's the door to our heart. It has to be opened up. But if we open it up, He'll flood that door. He'll flood that room with His glory. He'll flood that room with His glory. As much as we can let in, He'll flood it. Amen? He's not skimpy when it comes to His glory. Amen? It don't take no more of His glory to heal cancer than it does to heal a cold. All we need to do is just let it in our body. Just let it in. Let it cover us like a cloak. Amen? We have a glorious Savior. And Shannon sings of this Savior. You've got to hear a few of her songs here at church. I'm not sure if the Reeds were here when she sang Ruthie's Friend. But Shannon, you won the talent contest at school, did you not? I got to see the video. You know, it was a live YouTube video that Ruthie recorded, but it was glorious. Her voice covered that auditorium. See, she has a gift that God has given her, and she fills it with her life and gives it back to Him. And His glory manifested in that auditorium. You know, a spirit, you can't see it, but when you see tears in people's eyes, that's the glory manifesting itself. That's God touching people. You can't see the wind, but you can see the trees blowing, right? Well, when you see people singing, inspired by the Holy Ghost, inspired by God singing and delivering their message, their life song to somebody, and you see tears, that's God moving. See, don't think that people are not listening. Colette. You see tears, you see situations in their life, they're listening. God's moving. We have a glorious Savior. Just as He revealed Himself to His disciples on the mountain through the new birth, we now have that same glorious power. Where? On the inside of us. On the inside of you, you have burden removing, yoke destroying, power. Dunamis. Dynamite. You ever watch the cartoon? The Roadrunner? And the Coyote? Y'all go back that far? Yeah, I got one right here. Always, he never can get that Roadrunner, can he? He tries all kind of dynamite tricks. He ends up blowing himself up. There's a lot of Christians blowing themselves up because they don't know how to light the fuse. And they're letting the devil blow them up, really. They're letting that old coyote blow them up. But I tell you what, we need to light that fuse and let it explode on the inside of us and let it explode in somebody's life. Amen. Just let that glory out. And it's just an act of faith that it comes out. Just by doing what Jesus says to do, whether lay hands on somebody and command healing to come forth. You say, command? Command healing? Yes. Command, because God has said, He told us to lay hands on the sick. That's a command. That's an executable. EXE. .exe. Do it. Lay hands on the sick. Command them to be healed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And then that's His job. It's our part to believe. Believe it. Exchange it. Be His hands here on the earth. Be His church. Not a weak church. A powerful church. Amen. A glorious church. That's how they're going to come in. Healing is like a dinner bell. Ding, 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 ding. It's like fried steak with gravy on top of it. Mm-mm-mm. You can get that at Cracker Barrel. Healing is the children's bread, is it not? That's what it is. Children, healing is a Bojangles biscuit cut in half, smothered in butter. It's the healing, it's the children's bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of life. Number two, in this, our future, your future is hid in Christ. But to get to that future, to experience that future, you can't do it in the flesh. You cannot do it in the flesh. It's not in my righteousness. It's not in my work. It's in His Spirit. And that's in Romans. If we just flip over to the book of Romans here. Romans is my journey home. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. I read that sitting on my couch right there in my living room, and I believed it. I cried out to God alone in my home. I knew I was a sin. I knew I was sinking. I knew I was in death. But I cried. I just believed that scripture. Didn't feel no different. Didn't look no different. Was just as, I guess, rotten on the inside as I thought I was. But God came in and did a work. I couldn't feel it. I didn't know it. But I believed it. I believed in what I said. I believed it. And then later got invited to go to church. And showed up. And God showed up. And God filled me up with His power. It's all from the heart. Romans 8, starting at verse 12. Well, I always take you back a little bit. Look at Romans 8, verses 9. Romans 8, verse 8. Romans 8 and 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. In the flesh. You mean you can be in the flesh and out of the flesh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Roman was in the Spirit when he said, yes, but I can't ask. I have the right to ask. He was in the Spirit. But then when he was given the command and he said again and he got into the flesh. See, you got to obey. You got to be obedient, even though it might not be right. It might not feel right. I want this movie. I want it now. See, he still has the right to ask, but just ask what? Once. We need to pray. We need to pray once, right? Believe and we have received the answer when we pray. And then we go into thanksgiving and praise. It would have been a whole different situation had Rowan said, Mommy, attitude. Mommy, can you turn on the TV so I can watch it? Mommy, please. Put some butter on that bread. He put some butter on that bread. It went a whole lot better than, hey, can you turn on the movie? You know, just a whole different attitude. The way you do things. The way you say things. If he would have been led by the Spirit and said that, butter mom up a little bit, she'd probably cut it on. Don't demand your way. We don't demand our way. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God that He'll exalt us. Romans 8:8. Cannot please God in flesh, but you This is Paul talking to us now, talking about those that are in Christ. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. What if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you? We're all born again here, right? That means the Spirit of God is dwelling, has regenerated your old spirit, and made you a new spirit. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And that's how we know those that are anti-Christ. They don't have that Spirit. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. Say, thank you. Say, my body is dead. I'm not talking about your heart. I'm just saying the will of my body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as what? Not works, righteousness. Because he believed what God said about him. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and he does, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, Terry talked a little bit about that at the beginning, that we're going to be changed. Our body's going to be changed one day completely. Rechanged. No more aches, no more pains, no more wrinkles, no more hair loss. It's going to be changed into the glorious image that God created to be in the beginning. But until then, occupy until I come. Holy Spirit, occupy my body until Jesus comes. Holy Spirit, reveal your power and strength in me, not by might, not by strength, but by your Spirit, saith the Lord. Give me the strength, give me the ability to do my job, to provide for my family, to be healthy. See, that's the Spirit. We're not looking at the flesh, we're looking at the Spirit. That's who Paul is talking to. Verse 12, therefore, in other words, that's why he said all that. Therefore, if we know that we can't please God in the flesh, but we can in the Spirit, God's pleased with you. Don't look at what you did and the mistakes you made and think God is not pleased. He's not looking at your flesh. God's pleased at your Spirit. Hear Jesus. God says, hear Him. The Spirit. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, owe no man nothing, because a man is a flesh. Owe no man nothing, be debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you are the Son of God. Sons, daughters, sons and daughters of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage after we got born again to fear, but we received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. Daddy God. Ask and you shall receive. Ask God. He's big. He can handle it. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's how I knew that drinking is not okay. No man had to tell me that it's okay. The world doesn't have to tell me just a little bit. Even the church, just take a little bit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, who is, His first name is, come on, help me, Holy, Holy Spirit, He bears witness with my spirit. Let no man teach you. Let the Holy Spirit, He will teach you what's right and what's wrong. And when some man asks of you, what do you believe? Go on the inside. He'll give you the wisdom to say, this is right or wrong. This is how I decide. I decide by the Spirit of God. Who is? He is the Spirit of God. And verse 17, and if children, then heirs. In other words, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. Here comes the glory. And we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be what? glorified together with Him. In this world, we will have persecutions, testings, and trials. But be of great cheer. Jesus has overcome the world and overcome death, hell, and the grave, and it no longer has a hold on us. Because when we're going to, when He comes or when we go by the grave, we're going to be changed. It's going to be like taking a hand out of a glove. Death to a saint, it's like a hand coming out of a glove. We go right to the Father. Oh, death, where is thy sting? To a Christian, sting of death, there is no sting. Jesus receives us into glory when that day comes. We don't have to suffer in that body. We can when that time comes and we know we're ready to get out of here, whether by the grave or by the rapture, we just say, Lord, receive me into Your hands. Be gone just like that. But don't leave early. Finish the work. Paul said, I finished my course. Finish the work and then just go. Right? And then wait for us. We're coming too, right? Or we're all going to go together. That's in the Father's hands. Even Jesus don't know that day. But it's in the Father's hand. I'm not going to... I do want us to say this. Your future is bright and glorious. Say,
my future
is bright and glorious. Our vision here at Word of Faith Worship Center, say this with me. We will proclaim the Word of Faith. We will lead people to the Lord. We will teach people to live by the Word, to love the Word, and fulfill the Word. That's our pastor's vision. That's what we're submitted to do. Amen? And God's going to give you the glory and the power to do it. And then you're going to see lives change right in front of your eyes. Bodies change. He's going to do the work. Amen?